This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint and your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine a nuclear bomb going off in Los Angeles. Think about that. Think about a nuclear weapon blowing up in Los Angeles. I don't want you to just picture what it would look like at the time. You know, everybody can picture the mushroom cloud, things like that. I want you to think about what that would mean. About 4 million people in L.A. proper. I'm sure it's 10 million plus L.A. metro. The loss of life. The property damage. The national devastation. The national humiliation. The sorrow. Everything that would come with it. Yeah, Chris says there's 19 million L.A. metro. I want you to picture every part of what it would look like if a nuclear weapon blew up in downtown Los Angeles. And we will get to that in just a moment. But first, I hear many things today. Many, many things. Of people in our current environment and people in the past and people in the future. I'm not indicting people today, but I hear things from people that tell me something. And you know what it tells me? It tells me people, as a coping mechanism, as just a symptom of avoiding reality, which can be admittedly harsh, people lie to themselves all the time. You do, I do, Jewish producer Chris does. People lie to themselves. I didn't work out today, I'll tell you. Did not wake up and work out. I'm going to work out tomorrow, though, for the next 30 days straight. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not true. But it's what you tell yourself in the moment, right? So on that note, let us rewind for just a little bit and talk a little bit about the Russian Revolution. I'll keep this as brief as humanly possible today, because the Russian Revolution is complicated, and it is without question the most important event of the entire 20th century. Now, I want you to wrap your mind around this. When you consider everything that communism has done since the Russian Revolution, and I mean all of it, from Mao to Stalin to Pol Pot, and those are the high points. I want you to think about what communism has meant for various Latin America countries, Cuba. I want you to think about what it has meant, the spread of communism, for our own country, the United States of America. There are many people out there, myself included, who say we lost this country when the commies infiltrated our education system. When you sit back and take in what communism has meant for the world, the Russian Revolution is the most important thing that happened in the 20th century, and yet 95% of the population, at least, can't tell you one thing about it. You know what's wild? Is I've done a bunch of reading on the Russian Revolution, and I consume everything on it I can, because I find the whole thing about it fascinating. Societies shifting and rebelling and things. I mean, Russia's such a fascinating place anyway. So last night, I got a little time to myself. Kiddos are running around playing. The wife's watching one of her shows or doing something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. But I've had about an hour, and I thought, you know, I bet you money there's a cool documentary out there or two on the Russian Revolution. I mean, there's a documentary on everything, right? Go to Amazon Prime and do a search. There's documentaries on, I mean, not everything, but dang near. Somebody's made at least a crappy one somewhere at some point in time. Now, remember what I just said about this being the most important event of the 20th century? There was hardly anything on it. People just don't talk about it. They don't know about it. When you talk about the Soviet Union, people go right to Stalin, as if it just one day he appeared there. But this came from something. It came from something, and it came from something not just America, but every country in the world had better learn from and study. Because societies shift, and there is one thing, one lie you've been telling yourself, and I'll admit I've told myself, that we have got to dump. And we are going to learn that lesson from the Communist Revolution, from the Russian Revolution today. So let's begin really quickly here. Pre-Russian Revolution, Russia was ruled by czars. We're talking 300 years, autocratic czars. And all monarchies are not created equal, as you well know, because you listen to this show. There are all-powerful kings who are basically the gods on earth. There are kings who are certainly in charge, but they definitely don't really want to get crossed with the nobles. There are kings who are definitely in charge, but they really don't want to get crossed with the priests. There are kings who are in charge, and honestly, they don't really want to get crossed with the people. The people have been really rambunctious lately. I don't know what's going on. There are various levels of power when it comes to monarchies. In Russia, the czars, this Romanov dynasty, they were very powerful because Russia, which is difficult for us to picture now because they went so atheistic during the commie revolution, Russia was deeply, deeply religious, and they thought the Romanovs were God's representative on earth. But that began to fade over time. You see, Russia, as gigantic as it was 80% peasants. I mean, peasants, farmers. You think of this, you look at it on a map, right? You've seen it, you can picture it right now. I don't even have to tell you to look it up today. You can picture it's vast, but it's farmland, man. With all due respect, you need to picture it like Iowa. You need to picture it like a bigger version of Iowa, not a bigger version of New York City. It's just spread out, rural, farmland. Doesn't make them good, doesn't make them bad, but it's not modern. And Russia is having a difficult time modernizing in a way that doesn't completely destroy the poor people and run the middle class into poverty. They're starting up factories. They're starting up major portions of industry, but only a few people have the means to gobble those parts up. And so what you have in Russia is ruled by one guy, remember, one guy, but you have a bunch of rich people starting up these industries, and there's nothing left for the middle class. There's nothing left for the poor in Russia's urban environment. You know what the average people per apartment was in the urban environment as the population exploded and all the jobs got in there? Do you want to know? Hang on, I'll tell you.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
You need an auto protection plan. Because the truth is this, and everybody knows this is true. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it, but everyone knows this is true. You're going to have car problems. It's like getting sick. When you're not sick, you don't think about getting sick. And then when you are sick, it's the worst thing in the history of the world, and you don't know how you didn't appreciate being healthier more. Same thing with a car. Oh, my car's running fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then the engine goes, and you're basically poor and miserable. Get an auto protection plan and get one with CarShield. There's a reason they're America's number one auto protection plan company. They offer you a wide range of plans. They even offer you flexible payments. You choose the mechanic. Go to carshield.com. That's carshield.com. Use the code Jesse. That actually saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. You want to know how rough it was as they transitioned their economy in the Soviet Union? Well, Russia at the time, 16 people per apartment. Absolute squalor. And the social services were a disaster. Basic things. Water, sewer. Russia is having a hard time modernizing. Now we have that. I want you to also understand something else. Tsar Nicholas II, who was now the Tsar, the man in charge. He was one never supposed to be in charge. It was supposed to be his older brother. His older brother died. You see, Nicholas II's father had groomed and trained his older brother to run the empire. Brother dies. Now it falls to Nicholas. Nicholas is not only untrained, doesn't want to be there, admits it openly. I don't really want this. Okay, well, that's a problem. That's a big problem when you have people feeling really oppressed in your own country, feeling as if there are haves and have-nots. Sound familiar at all? We're going to discuss that a little later here. But when people feel as if there are, well, the in crowd and the out crowd, that is starting to get to be a dangerous situation, and they feel like the leader is weak. 1905, there was a revolution in Russia. I know what you're thinking, but Jesse, that's not when the Russian Revolution was. That's right. It failed and had to get put down brutally by Tsar Nicholas II. You see, we say things when I talk about history all the time about there was a revolution and they put it down. Well, that is a one-sentence explanation for what that means. That means people died. That means almost undoubtedly there were people thrown in prison, shot, tortured. That means it was ugly. Funerals. After this Russian Revolution, 1905, failed revolution in 1905, Tsar Nicholas II allows the formation of something you actually do need to remember, not really for this story, but just in general. He allowed the formation of what was called the Duma. It was a Congress. Okay, you could elect some representatives, but because autocrats are going to autocrat, he allowed the people to have a Duma, but the Duma had no power whatsoever, and I mean none whatsoever. Oh, okay, you can have an elected government. Sure, that'll go well. And there were two other things plaguing Tsar Nicholas II. As we advance through the early part of the 20th century. One, his wife. I am not indicting his wife, but his wife had two gigantic negative checks against her in the minds of the Russian people. One, he was weak and she was not one of these strong-willed, bull-headed women, which that's going to come off poorly in a more conservative, religious, male-dominated Russian society. That's one. Two, she was German. Remember this. You and I don't understand this world because he's never been involved in this world. All the old monarchies, this king, this Kaiser, this monarch, this... they all married each other. Always for political purposes, always. That's not something that just existed in ancient times. You listen to my show, so you know, well, this king would give away this daughter. Oh, please marry my sister. That was existing still, very much so, in the early 19th century. Oh, you want to forge alliances? Well, hey, man, what? Marry my cousin, please. That was not good, to put it mildly. When you start fighting a war against Germany, a deeply unpopular war called World War I, and it's not as if it was unpopular everywhere in equal amounts. During World War I, you had a country that was fresh off a failed revolution. People are already angry. People are starving. People are mad about the living conditions. And now you're conscripting them into the army in droves and taking them to a miserable war where they are dying by the hundreds of thousands. You have taken an extremely volatile situation with a weak leader and his wife and World War I, and you've dropped a gigantic flaming match inside of it, and I haven't even mentioned Rasputin because he can be his entire show. Let me just do a brief few sentences on him so you realize this was a very big deal. Remember, Russia was conservative, religious, God, church. Tsar Nicholas II and his wife, they have a bunch of daughters, which is a problem because you can't hand the daughter the throne. Finally, they have a son. The son, great, born, woohoo. Uh-oh, he's a hemophiliac. He's one of those people who can't stop bleeding. A big deal today, a death sentence back then. They had to be careful with him at all times. He would fall, bruise himself, almost die. And by all accounts, to their credit, they were very loving parents, very loving parents. They find this guy from Siberia. I swear, every time I read something about Rasputin, I feel like the guy was a movie character. He was a peasant from Siberia who got trained in religion. If you look up pictures to him to this day, you will feel like even his black and white pictures, his eyes are staring into your soul. I guess he had gray eyes or blue eyes. And he grows up and becomes this, I don't know if I'm allowed to use this word, priest slash holy man who would routinely get blackout drunk and enjoy himself with ladies of the night and regular ladies and any other lady who happened to be willing. The dude was just an absolute dog. Utter disaster of a human being. However, he gets brought into the palace. Now you're saying, why would they do that? Because the guy had convinced the czar and his wife that he could heal their son. And there are several times where he did something and made the boy better, at least in their minds. Well, I know what you're thinking. Why does this matter? Well, the public is furious about it. The newspapers are printing terrible things about him. The nobles in the country are getting angry that this guy has influence. Who is this low-life peasant, scumbag, drunk? It's creating huge scandals. So now what you've got is a powder keg, and it really was World War I that broke it. World War I was standing over the gigantic vat of black powder, lighting, not a match, an entire book of them, and dropping it. Hindsight is 20/20. There was simply no way for Russia to get involved in World War I with the way that war was going to have to be fought and still remain the same country it was. It was impossible. There was no way it was going to happen. Now, we send a bunch of guys off to war. People are mad. People are hungry. We have women who are now involved heavily in the workforce because they're sending all the men to the front. So you need the women to man these factories you're building. You're trying to industrialize, trying to send resources, you know, bombs, bullets, and such to the front. Women get involved, only there's not enough food to feed the workers. Kids are starving. Women are starving. And then a big thing happens. Hang on.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Mm-hmm. With World War I raging, people are starving back home, and now we got a problem. Should be noted, I will clarify what I meant by the nuclear bomb going off in Los Angeles later on in the show. I will clarify a couple things about where we are now and the lies we're telling ourselves later on in the show. We do have a history professor coming on later on today, Chris. This is intimidating. Somebody who actually knows what he's talking about. But mostly, let's be honest, what we're going to have today is me. And what, Chris? What else do we need? Nothing. A rebellion breaks out. A pretty calm rebellion breaks out into the streets of Russia. Now, when I say calm, I don't want to act like they were holding hands and saying prayers, but it wasn't that bad. However, you're the czar. You have a war going on. You need the factories going. You need things to run right. It is a balancing act for these guys always whether to give them the hammer or give them the sugar. It is. It always is. It always has been. It's always easy to armchair this for you or I, depending on your personality. People are rebelling in the streets. Oh, just give them what they want. Give them the day off and a back rub. And then they'll be fine. And then there's the other type of person. You'll see dudes this way a lot. I'll be honest. This is my instinct most of the time. Send in the troops and billy club someone in the head. Well, the truth is you have to find the right balance and the right solution for the right time. There are times you should give them some sugar cubes and a back rub, and there are times where you should billy club somebody across the face. The key is knowing when and what. Well, the czar simply does not have, he doesn't have the public support anymore to do what he does, and that is send in the troops. He sends in the troops to attack his own citizens, to beat them back. But in this moment, and I'll admit, while I'm obviously no fan of the Russian Revolution for clear reasons, in what I would love to have seen is a pretty cool moment. The troops show up to put down this rebellion, and the troops join the rebellion. Just cross over to the other side and join the rebellion. Now we have a huge problem. I'm fast-forwarding through several things here, it should be noted. The czar abdicates. We get to the point where the czar is all, okay, clearly people are done with me. Remember, this is a guy who didn't want it anyway. He can see the writing on the wall. It's over. You guys want something else? That's fine. He abdicates, actually tries to escape into England, and is refused. They don't let him and the family escape to England. We get to back to that in a minute. The Duma, remember that powerless Duma? They form a temporary government. But understand, and you need to understand this well, because this may well apply to you one day. Just because everyone decided they hated what was, did not mean that everyone had a good idea of what should be. People were split all across this country on what they wanted. There were tons of people who simply wanted another autocrat. It was anything they'd ever known. Many people, obviously, in the Duma wanted the Duma to rule. Let's have a representative government of the people. And there were these people, the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. We'll focus on the Bolsheviks today. You should know the main difference between the two is the Bolsheviks were a bit more radical, a bit more aggressive. Think Lenin, Stalin, very much Bolsheviks. There were people who saw this as the opportunity to bring about what they had always wanted, and that was communism. I painfully am about to defend one of the most destructive human beings in the history of the world, Vladimir Lenin. And I'm going to defend him because of this. Remember, Karl Marx wrote, He wrote about communism in the 1800s. He was German. And everybody had these theories about communism here and communism there. But communism hadn't really been tried. And on paper, If all you've ever known is being a poor peasant, and all anybody you know has ever known is being a poor peasant, you have the kings who have it all, and you have us who have nothing, and on paper, there's this new concept out there that, wait a minute, we should run everything. Do you think that would be appealing to you? You're lying to yourself if you say it wouldn't. And again, to defend Lenin, which I can't believe I'm doing, it hadn't been tried yet. Yeah, by now we know how it turns out every single time. But in Lenin's defense, this had never been tried, certainly not on this kind of scale. What if the whole country became a communist country? And what if, and they very much thought in these terms, what if the whole world became communist? What if we changed the government in all the world and the people ran everything? And doesn't that sound good if you're poverty-stricken? If you've lived your whole life and your dad lived his whole life and his dad lived his whole life and his dad has lived his whole life as some poor farmer, now somebody says, you should be in charge. It gets appealing. It gets very appealing. It was so appealing that Lenin, whose older brother had been killed, it was part of what radicalized him, that Lenin had been deported, exiled from Russia. They were like, get this guy out. And they had kicked him out. He was living in Switzerland. Well, Germany decides in one of the all-time bonehead moves, although, I mean, I guess you could argue temporarily it was effective. Germany decides, wait a minute, we're fighting this two-front war. We got Britain and France on this side. We have Russia on the other side. This sucks. What we really need is to fight a one-front war. What's our best opportunity to do that? How about the rickety empire over here in the east that looks like it's ready to crumble any minute? Is there anything we could do to help them along? Whoa, wait a minute. This Lenin guy seems like he is an absolute pain in the rear end. Why don't we get him back to Russia? Germany goes down, snatches up Vladimir Lenin, puts him on a train, and ships him back into the country that had exiled him. And Lenin, who was a wildly charismatic human being, shows up in the middle of a gigantic workers' revolution where people are starving and angry. Do you think he was appealing at that point in time? He stepped off the train and he was a god, giving speeches about this and speeches about that. People were hungry for it. And Lenin shows up. Remember, the Duma had formed a temporary government. Lenin shows up immediately and says, well, they've got to go. We're not dealing with that either. We're running things here. And he knew the Duma wasn't powerful enough. He immediately tries a rebellion right off the bat, fails, has to flee to Finland, but promptly reorganizes, comes right back, and forms what was called the Red Guard. The Red Guard storms the Duma Palace and takes over. December of 1917, Lenin, who had just taken over, he just seized power, formed something. Something you might want to be aware of for your own purposes. Hang on.
Listening to the Jesse Kelly Show.
Doctors trusted CBD. You see, here's the thing about natural medicines and holistic healing approaches. They're known to help alleviate issues like anxiety, headaches, joint pain, and more. That's why I've chosen CBD. Only the thing is, I don't have time to dig into the entire CBD industry, do you? I don't know which one to buy. Everybody's selling one now. Which one do you dig into? I don't have to. Doctors trusted CBD company. They researched the entire industry for you, for me. That's why they found all the best stuff. That's why they teamed up with Be Best Organics, which is made in America, I should mention. Be Best Organics, made in America. So go get some today, and I'll save you some money too. Go to doctorstrustedcbd.com. That's doctorstrustedcbd.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you free shipping and 10% off.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
You see, the Cheka, formed by Vladimir Lenin and the scumbag Bolsheviks, it was simply the precursor to the NKVD, to the KGB. All it was a secret police system, because they realized, Lenin knew, they'd had to do all this fighting the Duma, fighting these people, fighting those people to seize power. But he knew for a fact, people are never going to buy into these radical ideas. They're never going to buy into the elimination of private property while someone is still out there talking about how great private property is. We have to silence them. And you've heard of the Red Terror before? Well, here it is. Like I said, Lenin, a world-class scumbag, simply started killing and imprisoning the people who disagreed with him. It's not more complicated than that. And it's not as if I want to single him out. Yes, he was the leader. They were all game for it. Stalin, I know you're going to find this shocking, was right there cheering everything on. But they do hold an election. Because, you know, you have to go for... You're going for not only credibility with your own people, you're going for international credibility. The world is watching and the world is scared about this revolution that just happened for a couple different reasons. One, they're very, very, very worried that this is going to spread into their own countries, and it did, I should point out. France had to deal with a huge socialist rebellion at this point. Germany was plagued by communism until Hitler took care of that. It was a big problem. They were worried about that. They were worried about their investments. You see, international business is not a new thing. International business is the history of the world. And if you have a bunch of money invested in things in Russia and all of a sudden they're communist, well, that's not worth anything to you now, is it? Back to this. Let's wrap this thing up here. But the thing is, they even kill the czar. They kill the czar's family. I'm not sure if the mansion is still there. I should have looked that up. But I know even years after the fact, you could go down to the basement and see the pock marks in the wall, the holes in the wall where they dragged the entire family down to the basement, these dirty scumbag commies did, and gunned them all down, even the kids. A real dark moment. I mean, dark when you think about it. Yes, Chris, the Winter Palace. It's still there? Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'd like to see that. That'd be cool. The commies do one final thing that really scares everybody, but also really wakes people up. You see, they published the secret treaties. The commies have now taken over. Well, you're going to take over, and part of taking over means you get the old boss's desk. Hey, anybody got a key for the filing cabinet? And guess what you find in the old boss's desk? You find treaties between France and Britain about the war. And remember, the world is watching as their boys die in droves, and the commies take over and publish treaties showing the good guys aren't really the good guys in this whole thing. showing secret communications. Oh, hey, you know what we'll do when this is over? You take Syria. And someone else, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, we'll take Constantinople. Those dirty Turks don't need that. You see what I mean? Made everybody have a whole lot of egg on their face. At the end of this all, they signed what was called the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. A lot of people don't realize that at first the Russians tried to play hardball with the Germans to sign that treaty and get out of the war. And the Germans said, okay, screw you. And the Germans invaded Russia. They did that in World War I. People don't know about this. They got within 100 yards of St. Petersburg. And finally the Soviets were all, okay, we can't deal with this right now. And they agreed to the treaty. And they actually prolonged the war, not just by getting out of it, but they gave up a third of their territory and all kinds of their industry to the Germans, and the Germans sorely needed it at this time. But that's not really our lesson for today. The lesson you and I need to learn is I just told you this long story about the Russian Revolution, the communist takeover of the biggest country in the world, and it sounded like the people were mad at the old government and they wanted a new government. They wanted to try communism. Well, you remember just a couple minutes ago when I told you about them holding elections? They held an election, a free election. People, hey, anybody come vote? Everybody can come vote. Let's vote on who we want in charge here. Do you know what percentage of the vote the Bolsheviks got when the people got to choose who they wanted? 25%. You know what the Bolsheviks did? They simply closed the election and nullified the results. This is not a reference to our election we just had. This is a reference to a lie you and I are telling ourselves. And I'm about to tell you what it is. Hang on.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now, so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/Shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You and I tell ourselves lies. And one of the lies we tell ourselves on the right here in the United States of America all the time is this. Well, we have the numbers. We have more people think like me than think like them. Don't tell me to be worried about this. None of my friends think that way. I'm not worried about some of this social justice warrior racial stuff. But none of my friends talk like that or think like that. No, we're not gonna defund the police. No one I know wants to defund the police. No, we're not gonna have coronavirus restrictions forever. People are tired of it. I hear this a lot. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.